Have you ever walked into a room and instantly felt the tension, even before anyone spoke, or sensed when someone was hiding their true feelings behind polite words? This intuitive ability has a name in Korean culture, Noonchi. Described as the Korean superpower, Noonchi is the subtle art of gauging others' thoughts and feelings to build harmony and connection. It's what allows you to instantly understand what people are thinking without them having to say it explicitly. While Western cultures often celebrate direct communication and individualism, Noonchi has helped Koreans not only survive countless invasions throughout their turbulent history, but thrive to become a global cultural powerhouse. From the meteoric rise of K-pop sensation BTS to the worldwide popularity of Korean skincare, the impact of this small peninsula nation far exceeds its size, and Noonchi is the secret ingredient. As Yuni Hong reveals, Noonchi isn't just a quaint cultural custom, it's a practical skill that can transform your relationships, career, and overall quality of life. Noonchi, at its core, is about continuously recalibrating your assumptions based on new information, whether that comes from words, gestures, or facial expressions. Koreans don't praise good Noonchi, but rather quick Noonchi, emphasizing the importance of speed in social perception. As the Korean saying goes, if you have quick Noonchi, you can eat shrimp in a monastery, meaning that the laws of the universe bend to your will when you master this skill. When practicing Noonchi, your unit of observation is the room as a whole, how individuals within it are acting and reacting. Every room has its own bunwigi, atmosphere, that everyone contributes to. Acting with quick Noonchi enhances this atmosphere. Acting with no Noonchi ruins it. A skilled Noonchi practitioner observes the emotional energy of a room and determines what kind of energy they should emit to flow with it. The stakes are high in important situations, where crucial information often isn't expressed out loud or truthfully. In these moments, Noonchi might be your only ally. Developing quick Noonchi can help you get jobs, win friends, and smooth your path through life, requiring only your eyes and ears used wisely. While practicing Noonchi takes effort, cleaning up after making bad impressions takes even more. Korean psychologist Jae Hung Ho has created an innovative Noonchi scale to objectively measure this skill, similar to Western measures of self-esteem or empathy. His research shows that better Noonchi correlates with higher self-esteem, life satisfaction, and empathy. A key Noonchi principle is first, do no harm. Like physicians who diagnose before treating, people with good Noonchi assess situations before acting. Korea's strategic location between China and Japan has made it a target for countless invasions throughout history. Yet despite this tumultuous past, Koreans have not merely survived, but thrived, becoming a cultural dynamo that punches far above its weight on the global stage. This remarkable transformation from a country with little infrastructure 70 years ago to a global cultural force can be attributed to Noonchi, survival of those with the quickest eye measure. Korean folktales celebrate Noonchi, particularly through the legendary hero Hong Gildung. During Japanese colonization, 1919 to 1945, Koreans used Noonchi to placate their overlords while preserving their language and culture from planned annihilation. Had Japan won World War II, Korean culture would have been completely eradicated. Koreans had to use Noonchi overdrive to walk the tightrope of appeasing Japanese authorities while finding ways to preserve Korean newspapers, non-Shinto religions, and Korean instruction in schools. Noonchi also played a crucial role in South Korea's economic miracle under President Park Chung-hee, 1961 to 1979, who recognized that prosperity required sending Koreans abroad to learn skills and engage with other cultures. The success of Korean Noonchi is evident in the survival of 70 million Korean speakers, despite historical forces that should have eliminated the language entirely. Even in today's digital age, Noonchi remains embedded in Korean customs. Business cards are treated as extensions of one's identity, with elaborate exchange rituals demonstrating respect. When pouring drinks, Koreans hold their sleeve or forearm with their non-pouring hand, even when wearing modern clothing without traditional drooping sleeves, as a gesture of deliberate respect that signals presence and acknowledgement. Ironically, smartphones have become Noonchi's greatest adversary. People so absorbed in their devices fail to notice even approaching vehicles, let alone subtle social cues. This technology addiction prevents people from reading rooms effectively and handling natural conversational lulls, with social media's hyperbolic language compensating for the inability to read genuine reactions. Any radical self-improvement requires examining cultural values that block your natural nunchi abilities. Western culture has several nunchi brokers that hinder people's ability to read situations and connect with others. The first nunchi blocker is valuing empathy over understanding. While empathy and nunchi both aim to understand others, empathy can be selfish and centers on your feelings rather than objective understanding. Unlike empathy, nunchi focuses on the entire room, sometimes requires silence, maintains mental distance, has no moral component, allows emotional neutrality, is gender neutral, and values speed. The Korean expression, change location and think, contrasts with the English, put yourself in someone's shoes. The former suggests observing from different angles, while the latter requires pretending to be the other person. The second nunchi blocker is valuing noise over stillness and quiet. Western cultures often discourage quiet contemplation, but nunchi requires silencing the mind to honor your senses and instincts. While the rational neocortex dominates modern thinking, nunchi requires balancing all three brain parts, neocortex, limbic, emotional, and reptilian, instinctive, with less emphasis on the noisy neocortex. One practical technique is mentally repeating or summarizing what others say as they speak, which prevents interrupting and demonstrates genuine listening. The third nunchi blocker is valuing extroversion over introversion. Western culture incorrectly assumes extroverts are healthy and happy while introverts are antisocial. In social gatherings, introverts are often pressured to be more outgoing. This misses how introverts contribute differently. Their distance from social centers actually allows them to better observe group dynamics and nonverbal cues that extroverts miss. The fourth nunchi blocker is valuing jagged edges over roundness. Western society rewards pushy behavior with sharp elbows, creating jagged edges that can both cut others and give them something to grab onto. Instead, aim to be round like a smooth, expansive peach, impervious to sharks. Before reacting in conflict, ask yourself, "What am I doing and why?" This creates an immediate stabilizing force, helping you handle situations with more control. The fifth nunchi blocker is valuing individualism over collectivism. In Korea, children who complain about waiting in line are asked, "Are you the only person in the world?" teaching them to consider the collective. While collectivism may sound off-putting to individualists, we're already part of hive minds, evident in spontaneous crowd behaviors at sporting events. The goal isn't to eliminate biases, but to become aware of them, recognizing how our behavior affects others, whether we like it or not. People with no nunchi make others roll their eyes or exchange consternated glances, like Hazel, who kept pushing recovering alcoholic Eileen to drink wine despite clear refusals. They failed to read basic social cues. If your nunchi is truly bad, you might not even realize it, similar to the Dunning-Kruger effect, where the incompetent can't recognize their incompetence. People may avoid you without explanation, feeling an inexplicable dislike comparable to avoiding someone with bad breath. To diagnose poor nunchi, consider if you've been told to read the room, made embarrassing comments about absent colleagues who were actually present, hassled people without knowing their personal circumstances, received bad timing responses, been excluded from group outings while still seeing friends one-on-one, noticed people exchanging glances while you speak, or experienced inexplicable silence after speaking. If three or more scenarios sound familiar, your nunchi needs work. The nunchi challenged are like those deluded X Factor contestants who can't sing but believe they're brilliant. Their failure to acknowledge social feedback makes audiences unsympathetic. When someone points out your Nunchi deficiency, thank them. They're saving you from further embarrassment, like telling you about spinach in your teeth. The 8 deadly no-Nunchi archetypes begin with those who can't read the room, people whose self-absorption prevents them from noticing social cues, often from anxiety rather than malice. Like Catherine, who made an insensitive joke about her colleague Ben's desktop photo without realizing it showed his deceased boyfriend. Other archetypes include stalkers who think they're romantics, who mistake harassment for pursuit, those who can't read between the lines, who require explicit communication, those who show off Chinese calligraphy to Confucius by lecturing experts, those who think rejection is playing hard to get, like Mr. Collins in Pride and Prejudice, those who take compliments too literally, the bores who don't truly listen, and those who insist this is how we do it where I'm from rather than adapting to new environments. All these types share one critical flaw. They can't read the room, which can cost them relationships, respect, jobs, or worse. Koreans teach children the importance of stilling, observing, and listening from the earliest age. There's a Korean saying, a habit acquired at age 3 remains till age 80. Unlike the Western kids will be kids attitude, Korean children learn self-reliance and responsibility through Nunchi education. We all use Nunchi unconsciously in daily life, choosing whom to ask for directions, sensing danger on public transport, or picking the fastest checkout line. The consequences of poor Nunchi are dire, as Korean children's books like The Child with No Nunchi demonstrate. Those without Nunchi have no friends. The 8 rules of Nunchi provide a practical framework for developing this skill. Rule number 1. First, empty your mind of preconceptions to observe clearly. Bruce Lee wisely said, "Empty your cup so that it may be filled." When reading a room, think of yourself as a cup and the room as water. You can't discern the temperature or taste if your cup is already full. Before entering social situations, check yourself using the HALT mnemonic, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, to understand how your state might affect your perceptions. Rule number 2, be aware of the Nunchi observer effect. You change a room just by entering it. Instead of making a splash, honor the room first. The author shares a mortifying experience of bursting into a dinner party with loud apologies about traffic, unaware that another guest had just announced her terminal cancer diagnosis. Had she used Nunchi, she would have noticed the host's husband's quiet welcome, the guest's solemn faces, and the ill woman's untouched food, all clear signals that something serious was happening. Rule number 3. If you just arrived in the room, remember that everyone else has been there longer than you. Using Nunchi is like flying a kite. You must first gauge which way the wind is blowing, not just throw it up expecting it to soar. The queen demonstrated exceptional Nunchi at a banquet when, after a foreign dignitary drank from his finger bowl, she drank from hers too to save him embarrassment. Rule number 4. Never pass up a good opportunity to shut up. In Korean schools, students never raised hands during class, as asking questions was seen as a selfish interruption. This taught valuable lessons. Most questions get answered if you wait, and you'll learn more from listening than speaking. Being the strong, silent type puts you in an advantageous position. Your verbal minimalism establishes strength and can make others nervous enough to concede. Rule number 5. Manners exist for a reason. They aren't arbitrary rules designed to embarrass people, they serve crucial purposes. They create a safe space through shared expectations and establish boundaries for coexistence. Remember that manners exist to make everyone comfortable, not to make yourself feel superior for knowing them. Rule number 6, read between the lines. Turn down the volume to understand what someone is really saying. Study context and nonverbal cues beyond their words. With good Nunchi, you can detect what's unsaid, as demonstrated in the example of hosting Muslim refugees who politely ate pork despite religious restrictions because they didn't want to offend. Rule number 7. If you cause harm unintentionally, it's sometimes as bad as if you'd caused it intentionally. Good intentions don't excuse poor Nunchi. Karen's well-meaning but unwanted health advice drove friends away because she failed to notice how her positive reinforcement felt judgmental. Rule number 8, be nimble, be quick. Koreans value quick nunchi over merely good nunchi. Being right is useless if you're too slow. Many fictional characters with exceptional nunchi are orphans or disadvantaged individuals who developed sharp wits through hardship. Tom Sawyer using reverse psychology to avoid whitewashing a fence, or Gavroche from Les Miserables using his street smarts to upgrade his bread and identify spies. When you trust your nunchi-based first impressions, you tap into survival instincts evolved over millions of years. Unlike fixed prejudices, nunchi-based impressions adapt to new information while honoring your initial intuition. Robin declined a job with a movie executive who made her uncomfortable despite pressure from friends and family. Years later, he was exposed in the hashtag MeToo movement. Similarly, in the true crime podcast Dirty John, a daughter's nunchi correctly identified red flags in her mother's new husband that the mother ignored, with disastrous consequences. Society often tells us to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but our survival instincts are more reliable than social conditioning. While unfair prejudices exist, they aren't nunchi. In fact, nunchi serves as an antidote to bigotry by making you aware of your preconceptions. Unlike prejudice, which remains fixed regardless of evidence, nunchi-based impressions adapt to new information while honoring your initial intuitive response. Effective nunchi requires collecting relevant data, but you need a nunchi hypothesis first to guide what information you gather. The danger lies in gathering only data that supports what you want to believe, especially with attractive people or opportunities that seem too good to be true. Nunchi can be weaponized by those with ill intent. Koreans aren't cynical, but they don't assume everyone has good motives. They reserve judgment and wait to see evidence before deciding if someone is trustworthy. You don't need to earn the right to dislike someone who makes you uncomfortable. Women often excel at creating harmony and getting what they want, but overrule their instincts regarding self-preservation. In Korea, nunchi isn't considered uniquely feminine, and women's intuition is respected. Western women frequently doubt themselves, thinking, "I'm wrong sometimes, therefore I'm wrong all the time." Radio producer Xenia ignored her nunchi about a job candidate named Sam who made performative feminist statements while exhibiting suspicious body language. She overruled her instincts, and within a year, Sam's misconduct toward women resulted in multiple people losing their jobs. People severely lacking nunchi are often malignant narcissists who treat others as means to ends, viewing harm as mere collateral damage. They lack social antenna because they don't consider others worthy of consideration. A telltale sign is their reaction when people don't laugh at their jokes. They get disproportionately angry rather than adjusting. Unlike empathy, which narcissists exploit by drawing in self-effacing empaths, nunchi allows you to understand others without losing your footing. In this exploration of how nunchi principles apply to our social connections, we see that Korean culture values seeing oneself as part of a larger organism. Though Confucian ideals have faded in modern Korea, the belief that humans thrive in community remains relevant. The good life comes through nunchi and observing others, contrary to individualistic mottos like "you do you." Even misanthropes benefit from smooth social interactions. Roundness makes encounters frictionless, allowing you to be as visible or invisible as desired. When dating, nunchi becomes essential, especially in the early stages. Online dating means meeting virtual strangers, requiring quick discernment about safety and trustworthiness. People waste energy trying to control others' impressions instead of using nunchi to read their date. Focusing on the room rather than yourself has a calming effect on first date nerves. Judge how your date relates to everyone, not just you. Mismatches between words and actions are red flags, like Alex, who preached inner peace while being impatient with waitstaff. Finding the right partner requires neither rigid standards nor abandoning all criteria. Nunchi offers the middle path of discernment and adaptability. Pride and Prejudice illustrates how both pride, Darcy's snobbery, and prejudice, Elizabeth's closed mind, block good judgment. Only when life emergencies force them to interact do they observe each other's true character, admit their errors, and find happiness. The couples we enjoy being around demonstrate good nunchi. They anticipate each other's needs and spread considerate vibes. Having a partner who can't read between the lines is heartbreaking. While some experts insist you must verbalize all needs clearly, this ignores human nature's complexity. Feelings aren't always understood, even by those experiencing them, and socialization teaches different communication styles. When partners communicate indirectly, like Sheila, implying hunger by mentioning tiredness, you can either keep arguing or use nunchi to break the cycle. Instead of monitoring her body language, shift your approach by asking not when she wants to eat, but where. By changing from "tell me when you're hungry" to "let me know which restaurant you want," you create a more comfortable decision framework. Nunchi gallantry means using discretion to help others save face. When your recently separated friend Tom is asked about his wife at a party, rather than announcing his situation or awkwardly correcting people, suggest an activity requiring concentration to naturally shift focus. The best nunchi often goes unnoticed, a sign of true skill. Family gatherings often trigger predictable conflicts because of fundamental differences between relatives. With nunchi, you can sense approaching arguments before they erupt and choose to respond differently. Break the cycle by not showing up to every fight you're invited to. If a social dynamic consistently requires extraordinary amounts of nunchi, consider removing yourself entirely. Like money and energy, nunchi is a finite resource that shouldn't be wasted on irremediable situations. The workplace is where nunchi becomes essential, as illustrated by David Brent from The Office, the quintessential example of someone with no nunchi who remains oblivious to others' discomfort. For every colleague with no nunchi, there's someone with outstanding nunchi who advances further than their abilities might suggest. These people aren't necessarily well-connected or manipulative. They simply have quick nunchi, constantly eye-measuring the room. The greatest business legends all possessed extraordinarily quick nunchi. Bill Gates demonstrated remarkable foresight when entering the video game market with Xbox in 2001, predicting games would soon outpace movies in revenue, a prediction that came true by 2004. Jeff Bezos showed exceptional nunchi by understanding consumers deeply, refusing to pursue profits for Amazon's first 14 years while building customer loyalty. Even Steven Spielberg demonstrated masterful nunchi when tactfully handling a studio executive who wanted to rename Back to the Future to Spaceman from Pluto, responding with humor rather than confrontation. The office environment requires constant nunchi vigilance, as it's the epicenter of doublespeak and passive-aggressive communication. Most people already exercise workplace nunchi instinctively, noticing when colleagues suddenly dress formally for doctor's appointments, job interviews, or when someone starts being excluded from meetings, impending termination. With good nunchi, you can persuade colleagues without them realizing it. At office gatherings, practice entering the room and pausing by the door to take in the entire scene before engaging with anyone. Observe who's present, their positioning, and whether their behavior aligns with what you know about them. Notice if body language reveals a different hierarchy than the official organizational chart suggests. When negotiating salary, follow nunchi rule number 4. Never pass up a good opportunity to shut up. When Thea met with her verbose boss to discuss compensation for her promotion, she simply stated her request, then remained silent. Her boss, uncomfortable with silence, revealed crucial information unprompted, mentioning missed cost of living increases and upper salary limits. This silent strategy allowed Thea to identify her negotiation range without revealing her position. When dealing with incompetent colleagues, remember the Dunning-Kruger effect. They're too stupid to recognize their own stupidity. Rather than directly confronting them, which rarely works, use the Socratic method. Ask questions that lead them to see the flaws in their thinking while allowing them to save face by believing the realization was their own idea. The most nunchi-full approach to workplace advancement is counterintuitive. Identify what your boss and their boss want, then present your desires as solutions to their problems. Like Anthony, who wanted promotion during financial constraints, but noticed his boss was overwhelmed with direct reports. Rather than complaining, he proposed a restructuring where he'd manage 5 team members, reducing her burden while advancing himself. During job interviews, let the interviewer speak as much as possible. By staying silent and listening carefully, you'll learn exactly what to emphasize with the hiring manager and gain insights into company culture. In your first week, prioritize observation over charm. Follow Nunshi rule number 3. Remember, everyone else has been there longer, so watch them for information. Unlike advice books that suggest you have to already be okay to become okay, Nunshi benefits everyone regardless of their mental state. In fact, anxiety can sharpen Nunshi. It's the advantage of the underdog. For those with social anxiety, Nunshi offers relief by shifting focus away from self-consciousness toward observing others. Like Buddhists who manage the monkey mind of anxiety by focusing on breathing, anxious people can treat social situations as observation exercises, studying details about others rather than worrying about themselves. The author reveals she wasn't born with naturally quick Nunshi, but acquired it through adapting to major life changes, beginning with her family's move from the U.S. to Korea at age 12. Her international moves continued to Frankfurt, Berlin, Paris, and New York, making her highly adaptable. While challenging experiences don't necessarily make you stronger, your observation skills and adaptability certainly will. Distinguishing between irrational anxiety and genuine Nunshi alerts requires practice. When Nunshi processes data, resulting feelings like fear are felt most vividly in the gut, cold and factual, even if terrible. Anxiety, however, manifests as pressure in the chest and head, making it hard to breathe. Nunshi triggers survival skills and fight-or-flight responses, while anxiety paralyzes. Nunshi ninjas make delightful travel companions. They navigate foreign pharmacies without speaking the language, get directions through gestures, and find great restaurants without guides. Meanwhile, Nunshi deficient travelers cause problems. They accidentally insult locals, get scammed, miss danger signs, and panic when lost. The Nunshi master's essential skill is adapting to change, which makes travel one of life's greatest joys and best Nunshi sharpening experiences. The author provides 5 essential Nunshi rules for travelers. Do as the Romans do. Adapt to local customs even when they seem strange. No one is obligated to translate everything for you unless hired to do so. Don't expect service based on how things work in your home country. Learn 3 key phrases in any language: hello, can you help me, and do you speak my language? And when in doubt, read body language. You're often your own worst enemy when it comes to Nunshi, especially if you're anxious about others' opinions. You might suppress your Nunshi if you fear it will reveal something unpleasant. Don't fear criticism. Your Nunshi will tell you whose words merit attention. There's a paradox. To stop worrying what people think, you must first consider what they think. However, disregard social media feedback completely. It's a no-Nunshi clusterfuck where context is absent. The author provides 5 essential Nunshi rules for travelers. Do as the Romans do. Adapt to local customs even when they seem strange. No one is obligated to translate everything for you unless hired to do so. Don't expect service based on how things work in your home country. Learn 3 key phrases in any language: hello, can you help me, and do you speak my language? And when in doubt, read body language. You're often your own worst enemy when it comes to Nunshi, especially if you're anxious about others' opinions. You might suppress your Nunshi if you fear it will reveal something unpleasant. Don't fear criticism. Your Nunshi will tell you whose words merit attention. There's a paradox. To stop worrying what people think, you must first consider what they think. However, disregard social media feedback completely. It's a no-Nunshi clusterfuck where context is absent. Even when you feel too broken for self-improvement, your survival instincts remain active. The reptilian brain wants to live. Even deeply depressed people instinctively duck from punches or flee from danger. The author advises removing toxic people from your life to preserve energy as you age. she quotes a popular internet meme, "If you are depressed, first consider the possibility that you're just surrounded by assholes." Nunchi is the most important skill you'll ever learn, one that gets to the core of being human. While deeply woven into Korean life, it's long overdue in the West. Half of public life is nunchi, and despite myths of self-reliance, community has always been necessary for survival. Using nunchi relieves social anxiety by shifting focus from making people like you to creating harmony through observation. It embodies working smarter, not harder, and benefits everyone by creating a pleasant atmosphere. Even powerful people with seemingly no nunchi could have gone further with better nunchi, as hubris often suppresses this skill. Success through pushiness alone will eventually collapse. True leadership requires nunchi. If you struggle with silence, try direct eye contact as an alternative way to read a room. It can be your leverage, as Steve Jobs demonstrated. People lacking nunchi appear not to control their own lives, either influenced by dangerous people or alienating others without understanding why. Using nunchi doesn't mean losing yourself in others. Rather, it helps you understand people objectively from a place of inner stillness, making you braver. Even nunchi ninjas make mistakes occasionally. When you do, follow the rule, least said, soonest mended. The author concludes that while cleverness is overrated, reading the room's climate will unblock many areas of your life, making people naturally gravitate toward you and helping you work with the world rather than against it. Nunchi truly is, as she puts it, the secret weapon of the underdog, an evolutionary gift that strengthens during emergencies and can lift you up regardless of your current state.